happy new week. And no, I haven't forgotten about you guys. It's just been school holidays, and I've had a few weeks off doing my interviews, but I have my gorgeous two times published author, Sandy Make, right next to me, all the way from Canada, her Sunday evening, joining us for this morning's interview, and talking to us about her second freshly hot off the press book, The Ungracious Daughter. Show us the book, Sandy. I know you're going through final proofing stages, so there's a few little stickers stickers there in the book. Oh, there is. She's even got the cover framed, you guys. And do you want to show us the first book as well, which is The Unwanted Wife? I'm just going to put up a live also on my phone to make sure that I can see comments. There it is. The Unwanted Wife was book one. Sandy and I, have we known each other for about 2 or 3 years coming up soon now?
Yeah.
And actually, you guys, Sandy's writing her third book in 2 weeks' time at the May retreat, which is happening also. So she's on this massive journey to, you know, change the life of a lot of women. And I'm going to actually, Sandy, let me introduce you properly with your bio, and then we're going to talk about this the second book. Because if you didn't catch, guys, the interview that I did with Sandy about a year ago on The Unwanted Wife, you can just look up, you can even just put Sandy's and my name into YouTube and it'll pop up, or just follow up with me and I'll send you a recording of that one. But we're going to be talking about the second book. So Sandy is the author of The Unwanted Wife and The Ungracious Daughter, and she'll tell us later on in the interview what the third one's going to be. They're stories of arranged marriage, violence and abuse. Sandy's story is similar to when she was married to a stranger at 18. She was the target of domestic violence and abuse, yet she had the courage and strength to survive and transform her life to become the woman she is today. Sandy shares her journey, a true testament to the power of a woman. She shares her powerful and inspiring story as a call to action to women who face similar battles. She's a strong advocate against domestic violence and abuse and provides consultations for women who are dealing with domestic trauma. She's also a strong advocate for living a very healthy lifestyle. Also founder of the STCC Dance Academy. That's where she's been all day today, teaching people dance. Sandy volunteers with youth and adults in her community, sharing her love for the art form of dance, and is a proud recipient of several civic and volunteer awards in the community. And I know you also run a massive events as well around this that you put on, which is, you're multifaceted, Sandy. I love getting to know you, and you know, I definitely have a trip planned to come to Canada, and you'll be one of my stops to meet you. I love it. So good morning or good evening for you. So tell me where The Ungracious Daughter fits into The Unwanted Wife, and how does it flow on from that?
So the Ungracious Daughter is a prequel of The Unwanted Wife, and it tells talks about sexual abuse as a child, and it's very similar to my own childhood and to my own story, and it talks about sexual abuse as a child, betrayal, love, deceit, and what we perceive to be love, and probably not what love is all about, disloyalty, and even attempted murder.
Wow. So it's like kind of what happened before, and then it's Unwanted Wife's the next one. And is the next one after The Unwanted Wife?
It's actually a prequel of The Ungracious Daughter. Oh, it's going back even further to my forefathers, like my grandmother and her sisters and things like that. So that one goes even further back into our history of domestic violence.
I love it. You're writing everything backwards. Usually most people right forwards, but they're like kind of looking at the history and the patterns or the imprinting. Is that what the kind of that's how it explains all come from?
Yeah, and I would want to say it's almost like footprints that we leave, but not always the best footprints that we're leaving for our children. I met someone the other day, and she was talking to me about she's an empath. So she talks about healing, and now she's going back into healing in the womb. So it got me thinking about these things and how we don't actually, we can't heal our and live a great life if we don't heal from within.
That Sandy Mike right next to me. Oh,
sorry, I don't know what that was. Sorry.
the interview replaying, yeah, no, all good. Yeah, it's so interesting because I know there's generational imprinting that you don't think is happening, but it is, and on such deep levels that it has been discovered that then, you know, you kind of, even as much as you try to be an amazing parent, there's so many other things that I guess go through the history. So within the ungracious daughter, what would the reader get out of, you know, reading that one?
So it also talks about like shame and betrayal of family loyalties and you know, like going back into discovering where women in our family, in my family, have stayed strong and faced all the mountain problems, but still comes out as a great, like a great mother or a great daughter or a great sister, even going through all these things, coming out as like, I have a lot of respect for my mother, although you know, she's been through a lot herself, my grandmother has been through a lot herself, they still was able to provide for us and give us a good lifestyle, even though there was so much betrayals and so much deceit and so much family secrets.
Yes,
we still did not have a bad life, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah,
in a sense. So where, okay, so they did not know that I was being abused, right? But on the other hand, I had a lot of fun with my grandmother. I had a lot of great things that my mom did with us. So, you know, it was almost like, you don't know, right? It's like this.
Yeah. So where did the name the ungracious daughter come from?
So the ungracious daughter, I always thought that I was ungracious for being, for telling the truth, for talking about the truth, and for telling what had happened to me. As a child, and it, growing up, I was sexually abused by my uncle, and and so I thought, because I told the truth, that I was being ungracious to my family. But when I started writing the book, and as you read about the book, it starts off me or the person, like I didn't really write it as me. I had to write it as a third person party. As you know, and I continued that from the unwanted wife to the ungracious daughter. I continued with the same characters in the second book, because it's a prequel, and it tells about Maya, who is the character in this story and in the previous story. Tell about her talking, like healing in a sense where she told her story to her husband, or to her future husband at the time. And so it's going back and forth between telling the story and going back to the past. So it also, whilst telling her story to Scott, the whole thing changed towards being talking about sexual abuse to talking about family betrayals, and talking about what had happened as how she remembered it as a child, what had happened to her parents, to her sisters, to her uncles. And so that ungracious daughter came from Maya wondering, is she the ungracious daughter? Is it somebody else? You know, it couldn't be her sister, but it'd be somebody else, right? So the ungracious daughter actually should have a question mark at the back of it. You know, at the end of the sentence where it says the ungracious daughter, I should have put a question mark.
Yeah, like who is...
Who really is the ungracious daughter? Yeah.
I love that. And I love you created these awesome little trailer videos that they're so they're so interesting, like, you know, in terms of the mystery behind all of it, because there is a bit of, like, kind of, as you say, it's mysterious. Even the cover, as we saw as you lifted it up, it's quite mysterious.
I actually designed the covers myself and just told Nick what I wanted. And he did a great job of putting my ideas into perspective.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, and they're very you use the same font among between the two covers, the book one and book two. And if that's the pattern, obviously you're gonna go with book three as well.
Yes, you're gonna love the cover of book three. You're gonna love it.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah, I always like now I try not to see them too far advanced before the actual retreat. So when we do mock-up cover critique, I can really just see it almost for the first time and have that feeling of, oh, this is what it is, and like, you know, and then give feedback on it. So thank you so much. So what are doing these books, you know, what has opened up for you and what are you doing? I mean, we know you have a dance school and you've got, you know, many other things, you know, big events that you host and things like that, but where's your true
and a full-time job?
And a full-time job, yeah. Where does your passion lie with your books, and how do you want to be helping people?
So I feel like I want to help people to heal through writing or through coaching as well. And you know, still fight the beliefs that that you can heal through journaling, I feel. And that's where my passion lies. I feel even when I'm coaching other women who have been through similar trauma or similar experiences, the first thing I say to them is try writing down your feelings. And I feel that writing down my feelings was what led me to writing my first book. And I my journaling turned out actually into a book. So I think that's where I want to lead with the healing.
Yeah, because really you can't delete this out of someone's life. It's always going to be there, but you can learn how to, I guess, overcome it and or feel, you know, more at peace about the lessons and the blessings. That I know that, you know, abuse is not a blessing, but there is other things that how it makes you stronger. I mean, do you agree with that? Who are you because of what happened to you?
Definitely. And I always say that it's sad to say that it was meant to be, because you can't say you were meant to be abused or you were meant to go through domestic violence.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it led me to where I am and who I am today and why I'm able to help women. Because I couldn't have helped people if I didn't go through it myself or I didn't experience it myself, you know?
Yeah, you'd be a hypocrite, right?
In a sense, you've it's sad that I had to experience that, but I feel I want to use it as a positive to be able to help women and talk about it, you know?
And that's ultimately the outcome of why you want people to journal and bring out their stories, is how can they use their stories as a positive? Because if we do this at a grander scale worldwide and more people have that self-awareness or feel empowered because of it, then we can shift and change the way the future is in the future generations, right?
Exactly. And like I said, like, even you can journal, you don't have to, it doesn't have to lead into a book, but journaling does really heal.
Yeah.
And I have a very strong, how you would say, like, I have a very strong,
you're a strong for it.
I have a strong passion, like a passion for journaling, because I know that it healed me.
Yeah it does. You have your own realizations. I wasn't much of a big journaler I've been doing it really actively the last 12 months, but prior to that I love my diaries and planning, so a big planner. But in terms of sitting through and just talking through your own feelings without having to tell it to someone else. And also I find that journaling, when you feel there's no time or people are busy or whatever to have like those deep and meaningful conversations with them, journaling, you can be kind of unfiltered as well with it, with yourself. And you don't need to, like, some things you might feel uncomfortable telling other people, but if you're just telling it to yourself in your journal, then it's, you don't have to filter yourself. You can just let it out, and it does make you feel better. It feels like you're sharing a problem with someone, but you're not really. But you are.
No, Exactly, and you're clearing your head, I feel, and like you said, it's unfiltered, and I try to say to people when they're doing their journaling, and I even tell this to my kids, even if you want to swear and you want to write those swear words in there, write what you're feeling in there, and I did that when I was journaling, and it turned out into that book, and in my book I actually have explicit descriptions of what had happened. Because that's what I wrote at the time, and that's what I was feeling at the time.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. What does it take, like, you know, a lot of people, and I want to explore this a little bit with you, a lot of people are nervous about sharing stories like yours, right? You know, of people who might read them, of being vulnerable, you know, on a global scale, because this is now published and available for everyone to check out. You know, how did you get over that, and how do you, like, you know, how do you approach it? Because it is, a lot of people will give up on their book dream because of that.
I'm going to be honest, it was very scary. It's scary to think that people are going to read my story. People are going to know that it's me, even though it's written in a third party, and it's written as not my story. It's very similar to mine. So it was very intimidating at first, and it was very scary. And in all honesty, one of the reasons why I've taken so long for The Ungracious Daughter to be released, it's actually closer to me, because now I'm talking about my own family.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about what had happened in my parents' home. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it is scary in the beginning, but getting over that that hump of, oh my God, everybody's gonna know, you know, everything about me. It also is very empowering. It's an empowering journey, because mm-hmm. you're releasing everything. It's almost like a big relief.
A bit of closure to that part of your life, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that about letting go, like letting go of, and actually I'm talking about letting go on my Facebook for the last four sessions. I've got six more sessions going, and it's all different topics on letting go. So letting go by writing, letting go of foods that are hurting us, letting go of people that are hurting us. Mm-hmm. So letting go of our built up, you know, trauma. Oh my. It is very empowering.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is what I try to say to my budding authors that come to that initial seminar that we do, and you were there, you know, 2.5 years ago, however long it was, and I do remember the early 6 months of us working together, how many times we had conversations around what will happen, who will say what, how do we do it, you know, but the great thing was you were willing to listen and get the mentorship and to just have someone to bounce ideas off of, and just to get support. And I think that
you were awesome, and I could have counted you on you and Stuart anytime I felt like I needed to talk about it. You were always there for me, and I really do appreciate that.
And I think that helps a lot, and we appreciate you, like, in trusting us with this story, and I absolutely love following you, and I know you're going to be in my life forever and ever, you know, like, and I just love seeing how much you've grown in the confidence as an author, okay?
Yes.
And how content you are with what's happening and what's about to come and happen and all that sort of stuff, and that's what I see, where you step up and other people are, you know, I want to be like Sandy, I want to, you know, how did she get to where I am? And this is what your coaching and mentoring is all about, is showing them those steps, because they're probably 10 steps from where you started off from. What would you be your best advice for someone wanting to do something similar?
I would say focus on your strengths, mm-hmm. and the courage to do it, and don't expect society to always stand with you, but also expect society's expectation that you are probably not, you're telling sinful family secrets, or you're telling things that people might not want to hear, or they don't want to know, but stand up for yourself, stand up for your beliefs, and and delve into yourself and find that strength and that courage and that bravery. Mm-hmm. And you will find that empowerment.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess people who've been through sexual abuse, trauma, you know, things like that, their self-esteem and confidence probably would be lower than, say, someone who hasn't been through that. So, you know, and if you had the strength to get through what you did go through, you know, tap into that strength and then write your story, because it'll be the next level of evolution. I always say writing your book is not about your book, but it's about the person you become at the other end of it. You know, does that ring true for you? I mean, I know you.
Oh my God, definitely. I mean, if you would go back and look at the interview you did with me a year ago, and how timid I was and how scared I was to talk about anything.
Yes.
You know, and I would say, look at me now. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid to bring it from under the carpet, as we said. I'm not afraid to share my story. And even though I have to write it as a third party, it is very similar to mine, and I'm not afraid of talking about it. And one instance that came up, I was visiting some family last month in February, and one of my cousins came up to me and he said to me, my heart is breaking for you because you were my favorite cousin and I never knew you were going through that. Why didn't you tell me? It's coming out in a sense where now I can talk about it with my cousins, and I can talk about it with my family, and not all of them is bashing me or hating me because I'm telling the truth. To be honest with you, I have 99% support.
And this is a tough story. It's a big story that you know you're writing and sharing and all that sort of stuff. So anyone that's in this situation, please, and you've had a couple of comments here, very brave from Debbie, and other people are watching and being inspired by you. So talk to me. You know, you've done the program now you've done two retreats. You're about to come to the third one. You're doing it fully and completely every single time. What do you see the benefits? Because sometimes people do the program fully and completely, and then the next time, I'll just get a publishing package or, you know, do it on my own, but then they go so much slower, I find. What do you find the benefit from coming through the three-day program for you to be in terms of finishing books?
To me, first of all, I had no clue where to start. So that was one thing that I'm very grateful for. And I find like the biggest thing is the support. Like if I had to do this on my own, I'd be lost.
Yeah.
You know, and even now I've done it and I still need help. And I still call out to everyone. I call out to Babe. I call out to Julie. I call out to you. I need that support, and you guys are there for me. And I think that it's just massive. It's a massive thing that you have that behind you.
Yeah. And you stay up till 3 a.m. because that's how, like, this retreat's going to run for the first 2 days. You know,
yes.
and that's commitment. You know, often people go, oh, you know, it's going to be late. And I go, just suck it up. It's 2 days of your life.
It's 2 days. Yeah. You know, catch up your sleep after that. But it's worth it. Stay up and do the whole thing. It's worth it. And I've done it two times. And every time I do it, I'm so excited about it. Like, I can't wait for it to happen. I'm looking at my calendar and I'm like, oh, my God. It is very exciting. And it is. And I've done it twice, and I've learned. The first time, oh my God, the knowledge of like I've gotten so much information. And then the second time, I got more information that I might have missed in the first one.
Yeah. You know? And you'll hear it again. And I bet you, you're going to like kind of walk away with other ideas or other actions that you're going to take.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you make it a commitment and you do utilize it. Now that we know, you know, once you've done retreat once, we invite you guys to come and redo it again and again as many times, because many people don't just write one book. You're a perfect example. Within 3 years, we'll have done three books, you know, and on average, you know, that's pretty much what I did. Like, you know, I'm 13 years in, 14 books or whatever. And I really am due to do another one soon. But I always often say, you know, once you come in, you're part of the family and you can re-attend and you come to the support calls and you come to the masterclasses and do all of that sort of stuff, so that to make sure you finish. And I love that that's what you do. You turn up to your support calls and therefore the books are ready and they're not just something you talk about that you're in the process with. So where can people get your books? Where can they go?
So the Ungracious Daughter is not out yet. I'm launching it in June. So June 3rd is my first book launch. Yes. But they can also pre-purchase it at sandymeck.com.
There it is. And I've just popped it on the screen here, guys. So Sandy, for those of you listening to this as audio, is S-A-N-D-Y. And then Make is M-A-E-C. K.com. And here, if you click through and you choose the other book, The Unwanted Wife, then you can buy a copy of that. And of course, the books are going to be available through all your great online resellers. Sorry, my internet's a bit slow opening the other page. But The Ungracious Daughter, it's currently, Sandy's got her first proof copy in hand, and it's got lots of little tabs on there, Sandy, of things that you find, or little changes that you got to do. And then there's The Unwanted Wife, the other page. So if you want it directly from Sandy, go to her website. Otherwise, you can also look up The Unwanted Wife on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There it is, the first copy of The
Tabs, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, pre-order it, and the final copies will be shipped out. And I think you should get both, because you kind of story ties in together, I think that way you'll kind of get the full picture. And what's the name, what's the theme? Well, you already talked about the theme of the third book, but do you want to release the name of it?
It's called The Calamitous One.
The Calamitous One. I love all these words that she pulls out of, you know, they're very mysterious and curiosity driven, Sandy. And we'll be having you with that one. So what's the plan of release of that one, within, like, by the end of the year or something along those lines?
Yes, I want to work towards the end of the year. And so the Calamitous One is actually going to be a little bit more about how that person, or the person I'm going to be writing about, how it's almost like a failure to launch her life.
Right.
Because of society and abuse and that kind of stuff. And also health issues as well, because the main character in this book had epilepsy.
Interesting.
So it's gonna be a little bit about that as well. Yeah. it's mysterious.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And
I like a little bit of mystery about it.
I love it. And if you can, under this interview, maybe you're just on Facebook when you see it, if you can put the trailers of the two of the two books that you did, I'd love for you to share the link so people can sort of check out what I was talking about, what I meant. And I really can't wait to have you. It's literally 2 weeks to go till the May retreat. I'll be releasing the song very soon. I think you're gonna love this one. As you know, we have songs for every single retreat, and that's what gets us into the mood of it all. And I came up with it, I think, as an idea from one of our authors that I met in Florida recently, by reading her book at the beach. And I'm going to look up this song because she talks about that's the one that gets her into the zone. Like, oh, I've never had that one before. It's a good one. All right, we'll lock it in for a treat. I love it. Beautiful. Thank you, Sandy, so much for joining me second time. I'm sure in a year's time we're going to be together again doing another interview for the third book. But if you guys want to check out the previous interview, just go on YouTube and put my name and Sandy's name together, and it'll probably come up. And I believe through the podcast also, if you put Sandy's name, you'll be able to check out more about The Unwanted Wife, which is was her first book. So thank you again for joining me on a Sunday night for you. And I'm really happy to be back. And everybody, go out there and go smash out this week. Bye, guys. See you, Sandy.
Thank you.